Hey everyone, big news from the boys of The Last Podcast on the Left.
Check out The Last Comic Book on the Left, our most sinister comic anthology. Ooh. It now has a volume 2.
Please pre-order now at z2comics.com. We have an even bigger stable of artists and talent and writers and everyone that we did for the first one, although the first one is fucking amazing and it's still available on z2comics.com. But we're asking you to go pre-order number 2, z2comics.com.
You're going to like the way you read.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Guy.
There's no place to escape to.
This is The Last Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. It was last night I got caught into a D.B. Cooper hole. You ever been there? Ever found yourself in a Dan Cooper hole?
Okay, his name is Dan Cooper?
Yeah, it started as Dan. People changed it to D.B. Cooper on a lark, and it's a cooler name, sure.
Sure, I guess.
People love this guy. They love this guy. Obviously, he committed the greatest heist of all time.
He died. He didn't. He's dead. He never got to spend the money. He's dead. Even if D.B. Cooper survived and went to a desert island, what's he going to do? Give the clams a dollar?
I don't know.
There's no money where he would have landed.
I don't understand.
I don't know why I'm triggered now. I actually don't like the D.B. Cooper story.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with Amelia Earhart. I'm like, I don't fucking know. Bitch died. She drowned. Everyone drowned.
It's really funny because I was doing the same rant last night. There was like a new series on whatever, one of the channels. And I was watching it and the whole time I was being like, well, these guys just want to suck D.B. Cooper's dick. I understand. Like, yeah, it's cool. He wore sunglasses.
Sure.
I mean, we're going to get in hot water. We're going to get in true crime hot water because
he was in when he died. Or maybe it was cold.
People loved Amelia Earhart because she was the first woman to die on a foreign island.
You know what else I learned, though, about Amelia? Amelia Bedelia, number one, always my Amelia. That was a fantastic maiden. She was very funny. I love the books. Amelia Earhart was just an heiress. She was the Glenn Maxwell of aeronautics.
No, Kissel. Please, for the love of God. Can we please not malign Amelia Earhart right now?
I'm just saying she was very wealthy.
I love her. The army is going to fucking come after us.
You
now,
know what? Tell me about the first female pilot that didn't crash. I'm done. All right. Well, we had a great time at Comic-Con. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone.
You got so mad about Amelia Earhart. There's no reason.
They're all dead. Look, it's the Malaysian plane. It's because CNN for 5 years talked about the fucking Malaysian plane.
Where is the plane?
First of all, where is the fucking plane? Ocean. It's in the ocean.
All right, let me look this up. I'm typing the words before we start. You got so upset. And I don't know why. I thought we were going to have fun today. I thought today was going to be a light day. I'm looking up. I just want to see what happens when you type in best female pilot.
Okay, here we go. Best female pilot.
Amelia Earhart's at the very top of it.
She crashed and went missing. It's actually sexist.
It's again, Kissel. I think everyone's going to be extremely upset with your take.
No, they're not. We had a female pilot on one of our Delta.
I know for a fact that people are going to be mad because there's some kind of fact about Amelia Earhart that we don't know.
No,
and everyone's going to be like, she was the first person to have bush hair above 15,000 feet. I mean, I don't know. We're going to find out. There's going to be a landmine here.
I don't know about that. God forbid.
Be neutral. I need you to come out and say that was her problem.
She probably kept the plane in neutral as opposed to drive. I don't know how planes work.
That's dumb.
It is dumb.
Top female pilot.
We had a female pilot for our Delta flight.
Harriet Quimby.
Great. Did she live?
Nah, also dead.
Okay. So we had a female pilot for a Delta flight. Whoever that was the top female pilot because we took off, we flew.
Oh, you want a prize?
And then we landed.
You want a prize because you checked out the body of a pilot?
No. Also, pilots have to be quite petite, including the male. Well, it's different.
I've seen some horses.
Well, anyway, I'm feeling, because we went to Comic-Con. And I did get a bit of a nerd rub, right? And I feel a little trolly. This gal that I'm seeing dressed up, and I was very in the mood.
She looked beautiful.
She looked beautiful. She was Poison Ivy. And so I was in the mood. So I said, let's watch Squid Game. Babe, let's watch Squid Game this weekend. I watched Squid Game. Now, I know this came out like, what, fucking 2 years ago? I don't know. All I know is everyone talked about Squid Game for 2 years. And I'm like, I don't know. Is it about food? Is it on Food Network? Is Guy Fieri involved?
No. It's the single
longest 9 hours of my life. It should be called Squid Talks because all they do is talk. And all they do is talk. And then the games that they play, Where's the puppet in a
never going to get nominated. We're literally never going to get nominated for a Golden Globe.
I just don't understand. It had 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's all them.
I loved the show.
You did love it.
I love the show. But again, I like the show. I like the tension. I liked how brutal it was. I liked everybody got murdered.
There was no brutality.
I liked the games. There was a lot of brutality. They all got shot in the head. It was very brutal. But,
yeah, but
you should watch the sadness
shot.
If you want brutality. If you want the sadness, that will give you brutality.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what. I feel the same way because I get it. Because you feel like you're in a world that's gone insane. I was alone for a week when I was going stag. And I was like, it's time for me to enjoy The Mandalorian.
Okay.
And I did the same thing. I turned it on. And I was like, I couldn't possibly give a shit about this entire thing.
Nothing's dangerous. I started watching it.
I was like, Mandaborian? But guess what, man? Now we're out of the game. Guess what? You know what we just did, Kissel? We just freed ourselves from the Hollywood machine.
I guess we
don't have to hold ourselves to the same standards that they all do. Because you know what I love? Freedom and justice.
I agree with
that. My favorite show is watching women get abortions in front of me.
Well, isn't that absolutely fantastic?
That is a new show coming out.
With Guy Fieri, he's rolling out to America's abortion dispensaries.
And he's going to the wall.
There it is.
But you know what actually really works for Guy Fieri because he hates eggs.
He really does. That's a fantastic point, a great pun, and a multi-layered joke. All right, anyway, I'm just saying Squid Game. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think the games were competitive enough because it was a ripoff of Saw, and I'm sick of people maligning one of my favorite horror series porn. I will give you Hostel is horror porn. I don't like it, the movie Hostel.
I feel like actually we're getting closer to this to your reaction because in therapy a lot of times I have to talk about like why do I scream?
Right.
About something that doesn't matter. Like, what is it about, like, a specific topic? Like, why did I yell in therapy about The Mandalorian?
Right.
And I think that I did because I brought it up. I brought up about how I was dissatisfied about it. And I felt like I was a man lost in time.
I agree.
I felt like I was a man in a world that it was going slowly insane around me. But you know what? I'm burping.
I know.
You know what I'm not going to do?
What?
We're not going to become Christian comedians, right? We're not going to become.
I don't want to become a Christian comedian.
It's a slow slope. It's a slow slope.
No, it's
a slippery
not.
Slope.
All no, of I'm a not going to become Jim Brewer. I don't want to be goat boy turned bad. I just want things to be good. And when I'm told that something is the phenomenon of the year, and then I watch it, and it's just a bunch of fucking assholes talking, and then they play a game of marbles. In Saw, there is a motorcycle tornado that rips somebody's skin off of their body, and then the person survives and says thank you. That's a game.
One simple sentence has helped me get some peace in this world. It was not made for me.
It was. We are chunky, but still middle-aged, mildly financially stable white men. Everything is supposed to be made for us, and yet somehow it still sucks. I've never been more angry in my life.
When I watch The Mandalorian, I just know this is for people that need this. They need Star Wars.
I know.
I don't need Star Wars. You know what I mean?
Right.
I like Star Wars and I will take it and give it. But yes, again, there are things that are not for us no matter what, no matter how thoroughly they've been tested.
And I want to apologize to anyone. You know, we're not sitting here. I'm not going to say I'm not going to apologize to the squid heads. I'm happy that you enjoyed it. I want you to enjoy things.
Thank you.
Please stop telling me that what you like is good. Now, this wraps up the Adam Carolla corner of Side Stories for the next year.
Honestly, for the next year.
Yes.
Because people also absolutely despise us. You know what I mean? Like, I love us, you know, and I think we're the funniest things on the face of the planet. But there are people walking around currently that absolutely hate every single sound we make.
Yeah, but we're not a multi-million dollar production that has billions of dollars of ad revenue behind it being told that we're good. Everyone Kissel. Initially says that we are hated until people finally listen. And then they're like, oh, it's not nearly as bad as I was told it was. It's the opposite.
But then there are sometimes that people freak out because they are tasteless and they have no clue how to run their lives and they're garbage. But those of those, the people that do understand us, those are our people, Kissel. Those are your people.
Well, reach out to me like, if you didn't love Squid Game either. Just reach out. I need a community.
You see, I like Squid Game. I really like Squid Game. It was more the other thing. That one didn't make me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about how there is a constant need. I started with the D.V. Cooper thing, mostly just because people are still investing their entire lives to finding D.B. Cooper, right? There was a guy on this show that I was watching. It was called, like, D.B. Cooper, Man, Plane, How? Like, that was, like, the name of it. I remember what it was. But the head detective was a guy who was like, I've been through 30 years and two marriages looking for D.B. Cooper. And I plan to spend the rest of my life being like, dude, I get it. We're all very curious. But D.B. Cooper is not worth your love, the love in your life. Leaving you, unless you, because guess what? She's not staying.
No, she's not staying. Does he think that he would still possibly even be alive? I mean, even if he survived, he would be way dead.
Yeah, he's very, very old. If it is who they say they think it is, they think it's like four different people, they would be very old or dead. But it's more about they want to make their name, Kissel. They want to make themselves a part of the D.B. Cooper story. And that's why there's another story that's very similar to that. And there's another update on it. And I have no clue if it's real or not. Now, there was a thing called the Tamam Shud case. This was it's called the Mystery of the Somerton Man, which was a guy that was basically an unidentified man who's his body. I don't know if we've covered it. We might have covered it in some form very briefly on last podcast and left, but
not scantily. Basically, we weren't wearing lingerie.
Yeah, no. That's how I always imagine a case that we don't fully cover. I just imagine thin fabric on voluptuous breasts every day. But he was a man that was found dead in 1948. It was in this place called Somerton Park Beach. It was in Adelaide, South Australia. Right, so it's down in Australia. We went to Adelaide. It was awesome. Do you remember we went to the little bar and how cool was that? A hippie little town. It's really nice.
It was fantastic.
But basically, they found this guy lying dead, fully dressed on the beach, and there was no identity that they could attach to him. Basically, they couldn't figure out. They sent a bunch of pictures around. They couldn't figure out what it was. They found a suitcase of his at a train station that he had put there. There were some articles in there. And a part of the thing that was truly very mysterious is that when they found his body, there was a piece of paper that had been ripped out of a book that had the phrase Tamam Shud on it, which is a Persian phrase meaning it is over or is finished. It's the end of a poem, which is called the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, right? I think I'm saying that.
Nailed it.
That's the name of the book, right? And so the idea is like they thought that it was highly mysterious. And then they also found a note with what looks like some form of code. It's a bunch of random letters and numbers on a sheet of paper. Now, they have been looking for this guy for a long fucking time. And there was a bunch of leads. I'm not going to get into it now because it really is a long story.
Well, is it possible it was just the crossword puzzle from the New York Times?
You know, on Sunday. It's like, why do I even purchase this?
It's impossible.
Why am I part of this? I got the app to try to make sure that I could fucking, because I'm sick of, I don't do the Sudokus, and I don't want to get Alzheimer's, and that's what they say you got to do, right? So I get the app, can't even complete it if I wanted to. What?
No.
What?
So what's the point of this story, Henry?
Oh, the point of this story is
you said you started with quite a lead-in, and then you said, but we're not going to get into it. So now...
We're going into a little bit. All right. So there were some theories that he was a spy, right? Because they could not find anything about him. Like, they didn't know anything about his body. They know that when they found him that he had a rail ticket from Adelaide to Henley Beach, which is another spot that he had not used. But then there was another ticket that had taken him into town. They also found an empty packet of Juicy Fruit gum. There was an Army Club cigarette packet. This is what I'm talking about. And they had a quarter full box of Bryant and May matches. Isn't that fascinating?
I don't know.
Some people said that they saw him lying there. A lot of people make commentary that he was very handsome when they found him, right? Very, very handsome. So they know that he ate a pasty before he's dead. They do believe that he died of poisoning, right? Because he had mucus all through the inside. You want this? You excited about this?
I don't know yet.
I'm giving you details.
Why do I care about this person?
Well, it's because they did a... there is a new lead on him that this group has been trying to get going for a long time. And they're saying is that thanks to the advances in science, that there is a... they took old hairs of his. So they made a death mask of him.
What? But why do I... What did this man do to warrant anyone giving a shit?
It's mysterious. It's mysterious. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows who he is.
Okay.
Right? They can't find who he is. Is he got a body? And no one knows where he came from. They thought he was some person and that he wasn't. They thought he was another guy and he wasn't. The D.B. Cooper curse.
Oh.
Right? Where the idea is that that's what they call it in D.B. Cooper. They say that people keep like, the problem with D.B. Cooper is you keep thinking it's the guy, but the next thing you know, it's not the guy. It's because he died. It's because he went to the river.
It's because he's dead. So he's much like the detective in Squid Game who doesn't register when they put the scanner up to his ear because he's not actually a member of the law enforcement PlayStation crew. But that also the detective in Squid Game. I don't want to keep harping on it. But he was the worst detective I've ever heard because he kept on asking the questions as if he was never there before. And then they're like, circle, have you not, don't you remember your circle? And then he would be like, well, why am I, what do
it's
I
TV.
Do?
He can't immediately get shot in the head. It's television. Kissel, it is interesting because you are so hurt because you finally tried to show vulnerability to content that was outside of your purview and it disappointed you and now you're afraid. And that's why you spend so long going, I like cheese. I don't wash myself. That's why, because you're afraid of being vulnerable to things.
That's very true.
Because you're afraid they will disappoint you.
Also, if you have a bit of an odor around you, nobody speaks.
Nobody speaks around you. So, all right.
Okay.
They are now saying this guy named Derek Abbott, who's a professor, he's not wasting his life because he's from the University of Adelaide. And he says that the body of a man that he found in one of the city's beaches in 1948, and it belonged to a guy named Carl Webb.
So it's
he's an electrical engineer.
It's Carl.
Yep.
It's not a goddamn mermaid.
You don't know, though. It could have been anything. It could have been anyone.
The one thing about the people that look for D.B. Cooper, Amelia Earhart, Carl Webb, they demonize the Sasquatcher, the cryptozoologist, the
sometimes
one who's looking for answers. At the very least, we know if Bigfoot is around, it would still at least be alive. So I think it makes more sense to hunt Bigfoot than it does D.B. Cooper.
It's Carl.
It's
all right,
Carl.
And Derek Abbott and this woman that is also must be as equally mentally, I don't know what they are.
Capable.
They are hyper-focused on this.
Yes.
They're hyper-focused on this. It's Rachel Egan. They think that they have found DNA that matched from. So when he died, when they brought him in, to I guess because pictures weren't enough, they gave him a death cast, right? They put a mask on his head. And when they pulled it off, a bunch of his hairs got caught in the plaster.
Right.
And then they used their hairs to do the DNA test. It's
a
fascinating story.
It is. I mean, honestly, it could have happened to me. If I wasn't so large, when I took off all of my clothes and I ran into the ocean in Florida at 3:00 in the morning, not realizing how strong high tide is, if I was 6'4", I would have been out there and I'd be chum for the sharks. But thankfully, my big, stern body kept me from going to the sea. But anyway, I want to talk about a story, speaking of odor, that is really near and dear to both of our hearts. And I'm interested to hear your opinion, because a dude is suing for $250,000. Now, this guy in 2017, he was British then, and he's British now. He ate a ham sandwich, a ham roll, right?
Okay. So a ham roll there is different than a sandwich. Well, I think they call a ham sandwich there. Yeah, a roll, yeah.
It's just a ham sandwich, yeah.
I just want to make sure we're clear as hell on this.
Absolutely. And of course, he got it from a Christmas market because ham and Christmas go together very well. It's not a holiday for the pigs. But anyway, so he was there 2017. Guy's name is Tyrone Prates. He's now 46. And he says since he ate this GD ham roll, he hasn't stopped farting. 2017. Now, so it's been 5 years. He says it's been 5 years of consistent, nonstop flatulence.
This is the thing. Because Fernando, as soon as we brought this up and said that he hasn't stopped farting. Okay. Is he farting in phases or is he literally constantly farting?
Well, this is
because he says here, he got sick when he first ate it.
Got
right?
sick.
He said he got high grade fever and severe diarrhea. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Then he said he was in bed for 5 weeks from a ham sandwich.
Buddy, it's a poisonous ham sandwich. The pig's revenge.
This sounds like very specific UK aristocratic gastrointestinal problems.
Well, you
like
know,
some
the
of
UK.
Our friends have.
Well, but you know what? I actually ordered chicken vindaloo yesterday. I love Indian food, and obviously the Brits say what you will, but they did create the modern Indian food that we eat here. They can have some spice.
I don't know.
Chicken vindaloo.
A ham roll. There is no spice in this. It's a ham sandwich.
No, I know. But it's weird that the British eat beans and then they just jump over the hottest thing ever, which is nice chicken vindaloo.
I don't know if their spice level is the same as our spice level here. Because when I went there, they're all like, well, this right here, this is real spicy. And then I ate it and I didn't feel anything.
Well, there was a little pepper on there. So
the man
claims that his ongoing gas is a serious problem. As you can imagine, Henry, how are you going to get a job? How are you going to be even a gas station attendant or a teacher?
You could be a gas station attendant.
Well, perhaps, unless, of course, you
could be
up
a
the
mechanic.
Entire gas station.
That's true. You could do all the time. Were there other smells? That's where I do it.
That is a good point. And actually, there are some jobs where if the person is farting a lot, you're like, that fits. Even a chef.
Oh, very much so. And also, I like the idea of if you're farting all the time, I relate to you. You're human.
Yeah.
Don't be all highfalutin on me. You know who should? You know it's a good person who farts all the time? Somebody like a sommelier.
Mm.
Who has this hyper fancy job, but it's in this situation where every time he goes like a... Every time he does that, they have to go, ha ha.
Nice. Okay.
The service is incredible here.
Fantastic.
But he says it's an ongoing problem again. He says that it's fatigue, altered bowel function associated with, he says, a constant churning within his abdomen and flatulence.
Absolutely. Excessively.
He says that his belly churns so much he can't sleep.
Absolutely, and he's not the only one. There's been a total of 16 people in three different groups that complained of similar symptoms after eating at, quote, the stall. So,
but the company is saying, which I think is funny, is that they're not saying that it didn't happen at all. They're just saying, not to 16 of them. They literally just saying that,
it's too many people.
The sample group was not big and not small enough.
Absolutely. So be careful what you eat out there. The guy, again, is suing for $250,000. I'm not sure if even that amount of money would help him. I mean, you're still going to fart constantly, but it reminds me of the woman that farted and sold them in glass jars. And quite a bit, but then she had some massive medical issues and she had to stop doing that. And now I think she's just giving away pieces of her hair and pieces of her skin and toenails and things like that.
She wasn't doing it right. She wasn't supported with
breath.
I
guess not. But either way, be careful out there.
Thing is, man, like, yeah, I know his belly's churning and he's upset, but I'm just going to put a little bit on there. Like, I feel like this might not be entirely the ham sandwich's issue. Most of the rest of the people who bought the ham sandwiches didn't have this issue. It seems to be the ultimate meetup between his very weak system
and
a ham sandwich. I mean, now, side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Have you ever lost a job due to food poisoning? I'd love to know.
Farting too much? Let us know. I also, if you fart so much, I don't think it would smell all the time. Because sometimes there's just air in there. He also might just be winking it. And the air is getting sucked up there. We know the old Howard Stern when it was good and he had a person play the trumpet with his asshole.
Suck it up.
Maybe it's just air. And then it just comes down to the noise. And then you just let everyone know, hey, guys, I got a tootie butt. And then it's just a fun little thing. Be like, hey, Rodney, let's hear it. There he is.
My thing is, if I'm one of these flappy wigged fucking fake lawyers in the UK,
The only way I believe that this was true was that I'd need him to fart in court.
Oh, yeah.
And what I need also is I need a full, like, you need to set up a cam and see, I need to see a full time lapse of how much we're farting. Because 250 G's is a lot of money, right? We're going to give you 250. Actually, in the end, the long term, it's not either.
No,
it's really
one,
not.
Because it's 150.
It's 125.
Yeah, 125. Yeah. And then you're still a fart guy. And then, I mean, it's not. This guy's got to lean in.
Is there no way to, there's no plug? There's no, like, way to go up in there and, you know, fix his gut, reset
first of all,
it?
He needs to move to France. He would be, like, the president. He would be like, Macron, get out of here. I'm not sure if he's still there anymore or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Not bad. We follow American politics, and those are fucking crazy enough. But he needs to move to France. He would be very successful. He would be very cool. But you know on cars, when you're a real douchebag, and you put something on your muffler to make it sound bigger so your cock grows, put that on your asshole. She's like, wee!
Woo!
We didn't start the fire. Get like the Billy Joel sound
again,
pack.
Dude. All of you, all of these things are referring to a person who is fun.
I agree.
This person is not, obviously, it has gone past fun for this person.
Yeah.
They are extremely upset because they have lost control of their butt. And when it comes down to it, if your butt is rioting, you really need to think about how the rest of your system, what's happening, right?
I agree.
You have to address the happiness within your system. Learn from Civilization 6.
Live from your grave.
Learning a new language is hard. Trust me, I know I'm just starting to learn English. But with Babbel, you can learn quickly, easily, and it's fun. Now is the perfect time to start Babbel for all your summer travels. Babbel is the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions with addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons for wherever you are in your language learning journey. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Unlike other language learning apps, Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. In addition to Babbel's lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here at Last Podcast on the Left, we got some free Babbel codes, and it has been awesome. I'm learning how to say things like ciao and bonjour. Aren't I getting classy? Right now, save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/left. That's babbel.com/left for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel. Language for life.
A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Now, this is another story, right? This is another story that it might seem to vindicate you, but I also think that this is really just about, you got to be careful out there what you let your kids do.
All right. Well,
I'm going to put this on.
First of all, it does vindicate me. It does vindicate me. You've been on the wrong side of history for the robot wars ever since we started this.
No.
Robots are not going to protect you. They're not going to defend you.
I am going to have them. Robots.
No, you didn't even get. No, Jim Carrey is going to have them because he's Dr. Robotnik. We are not. So anyway, the robot. First of all, we have a submachine gun robot that everyone's like, lol, raffle. I can't believe that happened. I told you that was going to happen.
We've literally been talking about it since that dog thing came out. That obviously we're going to put a gun on it. That's why it's got the stabilizing unit. It's not like we're going to ride it, which would also be fun because that would be cool if it had the gun on it and a saddle. Then it's fun.
You wait. Jess. Can you believe kids don't want to play that game? You know the story we're going to talk about. This robot attacked a child during a chess tournament, and Henry's glee spreads throughout the land.
This child, all right, because, you can see the video, and it is entertaining.
It's because entertaining.
It's fun. I know it's scary, but it's also fun. So this is in Russia. And it shows just how serious even the robots are in Russia.
Robots do not have a nationality. The robot didn't get mad. The robot doesn't feel anything. The robot was a robot and simply acted out of instinct, which makes it so freaking dangerous.
So this is what happened. So this is Sergei Smagin, who was the president of the Chess Federation of Russia, which actually must be very serious, right? Because it's
sure
a little
it
boy. I think the boy was something like fucking eight or
seven.
Whatever.
He was a seven-year-old child.
Yep. Yep. So you see this video. He's playing against this giant robot arm. And this robot is controlling the pieces because, you know, it lights up. The robot arm comes out and picks it up. See, the kid, you can see, obviously very gifted to be playing against this robot, a very talented young chess player. And in Russia, they start them at like three or four, right? It's
absolutely
a very big deal. Chess is a massive deal in Russia.
I guess.
And this kid made a move, right? And the robot went into action. Now, the thing about chess is that if you're playing against a person, the one thing you're not supposed to do is touch the board when it is not your turn, right? Or after you've done the thing, right? You're not supposed to do it, right?
After
because
you
number
move
one,
your
what
little
is
pieces.
Also, what is Russia the number one in? Fucking sleight of hand chicanery, right? They are very good. A lot of magicians, a lot of card guys come out of Russia, right?
Rasputin.
Sleight of hand. Rasputin, right?
The only thing I know about chess is from the Saved by the Bell episode where Screech had to go against, I believe, the Russian dude, and it was a very competitive chess game, and that's what I know about chess. So
yes, and then that's all you actually really need to know for the story.
Okay, great.
Because as the child like messed with his keys, but as a child would have, it didn't have any discipline. Right, it didn't understand that you're not supposed to touch a piece anymore, and it was against the law. But the thing was that no one told the kid, "Hey, the robot doesn't know what to do." Right, the robot is there to play chess; it's not your friend. Right,
so
it
you're
just
victim
plays
blaming.
Chess.
So you're victim.
No, I'm
blaming.
Just saying. Okay. No, I'm saying they could have told the kid a little bit more about the scenario because the kid went to go adjust a piece while the robot was moving. And because I don't know if it was necessarily because it was against the rules or if it was because there was movement on the board, the robot grabbed his finger like it should. And it's because for the robot, it's that thing too, which is like truly, obviously the most scary part about robots is that it's no effort on the robot's behalf. And it doesn't it doesn't get mad, right? It doesn't go like, like it just kind of silently mashed his finger, like just grabbed it like you do out of a claw machine and just snapped it in half.
Absolutely. According to a Russian news website, which of course you can trust, the robot did not like that the boy was acting in such a hurry, okay? So he grabbed the boy's index finger.
This is from the Chess Federation. They are all, that's what I love about this. That's why it's a very Russian story. They're all on the robot side.
I know, because they're a bunch of malicious maniacs, and they want the chess. Isn't that not just a euphemism or an analogy for war? Okay, which they're in right now. So they grabbed the boy's index finger, and he squeezed it hard. And we'll know if that boy has a new fetish. But anyway, so then people around rushed to help and pulled the finger out the finger of the young man. But the fracture could not be avoided.
No, it was very scary. And I love this quote. The boy is all right. They put the plaster cast on the finger to heal faster. Yes, there are certain safety rules, and the child apparently violated them. And when he made the move, he did not notice that he had to wait. This is an extremely rare case, the first I can recall.
Yeah, no shit, so it's the first, because it's the first time a seven-year-old was playing chess against a goddamn robot that has no ability to understand what it's doing other than play chess.
The robots played many games in public spheres, and this is the first child to break the rules, right? The thing is, it's really about the child not breaking the rules.
No, it's because the robot doesn't understand the humans. Oh, my God.
You got to play by the robot's rules, right? No. You're now in the robot's world at that point. You had to figure out, and they made a big funny joke about whether or not the robot will be put to sleep. But he said, no, it's actually a very big moneymaker for them, so it's not going
anywhere. I'm sure they love it. And if anything, the child will be put to sleep. And if we know the Russians, they're going to shame the child for not being strong enough.
They're going to honestly, that child's got polonium in his blood right now.
Very well. Don't eat the sushi, my friend. You will be dead. It reminds me of the first game, the only good game in Squid Game, which was Red Light, Green Light, where the robot knew if you were moving at all.
Wow, you're still upset. You're so
I'm very upset. I'm very, it was 9 hours of my life that I can never get back, and nor do I want it, to be honest.
Why did you watch so much of it? Why didn't you just stop watching?
We had made a commitment.
No, you don't. This is what I tell Natalie. This is what I tell Natalie.
No, we made
a commitment.
We haven't
made a commitment.
And I wanted to see who the fucking asshole was behind that, the only cool mask in the entire thing. I want to see who it was.
But you just watched the last episode. That's what I did with Game of Thrones.
It wasn't even the last episode they revealed it.
I was so sick of Game of Thrones, and I hated it so much, that in the end, I just watched the last episode and be like, there he is. There's the king. Done.
So
mystery solved.
There it is. Yeah, Game of Thrones. By the way, they're making a prequel. So that'll be exciting.
Okay, give me more of it. I definitely not a new idea. I hate them.
If we can just get a multiverse for the Game of Thrones, that'd be great.
It's going to happen.
The 7-year-old boy is named Christopher, and he is among the 30 strongest chess players in Moscow, aged up to 9 years old. So that's how serious they take chess. They know for a fact he's in the 30. He's one of
up
the top
to nine
30
years old.
Up to
from
nine.
Zero, from zero to nine. From come to 9 years old, he is the best chess player around.
Well, he's in the top 30. So that in America, I don't think that a 9 year old even, I mean, we'll be lucky if they know how to play the game. Sorry at this point.
Oh, yeah, they're all fucked. But I just like how they took the robot side. And honestly, but the thing, I think that what does make this story truly very Russian as well, that kid's only going to be a better chess player because of this.
I don't think he's going to be allowed to play chess again because he broke his little chess finger.
No, it's
the only thing
that
he needs on his body. No,
use
you
the
can't
other
switch
hand.
It. You can't switch it. Come on.
I mean, I don't know. Do you use that? Do you have I use my jerk-off hand to do all sorts of things.
Well, I just don't want to know that. Anyway, all right. Well, let's move on to some different stories that don't involve the upcoming robot war. Let's see here. What about this one when it comes to jobs?
Emily Howell Warner's another big female pilot.
What did she do?
She lived to a nice natural death.
What did she?
She was in the Hall of Fame of flying. She died of Alzheimer's disease.
Well, there you go. An employee from Asheville, in Buncombe County. That's true. He says he went viral because he says I got fired for being late. Asheville has a crazy heroin epidemic going on. I was walking to work one day. I was flagged by a few people towards a homeless couple. The guy was unconscious and the woman was losing her mind and screeched to me, absolutely wasted. Her partner was out cold with blood running from his nose. So he tried to help him and then he got fired.
What?
That story sucks. I don't know, buddy.
Cut from that? Why didn't you cut to the story about the woman from the show, Myriam Margulies? Talking about how Arnold Schwarzenegger farted on her. Now that's the story. She openly said that he farted on her. She's upset. She said that he was very egotistical because
I'm sure
he farted on her when he was making the movie End of Days in 1999.
All right.
Let's talk about this other story.
We heard
garbage today.
This is
the worst radio show in the world.
Yeah.
Amarjeet Sada. Now, this is a fucked up story.
Okay.
Amarjeet Sada is now known. They're calling him the world's youngest serial killer.
Yes.
Now, this is fucked up. This came from his early life. He was born into a poor family in Bihar. I guess he was forced to work at a very young age, which doesn't help your attitude.
No.
No, I don't think it does.
He was born in 1998.
Yep. So, he's not even past. He's still beat 9/11, right? He still got in there. But in 2006, he murdered his cousin.
Right.
And then literally 2 months later, he murdered his own baby sister. This is when he was 8 years old. He murdered them by beating them and strangling them to death. Now, at the time, the family was like, this is a private family matter. We can't get police involved, which is incorrect.
Well, every culture is a little bit different. They want to keep it insular, keep it inside the family, family secrets.
Once you one accidental death is what you got. That's what we talked about yesterday in Sirius, right? We all got one accidental death, but you can't do two, right? So they finally said, all right, we won't get the police involved. And then
He killed a third child, a 6-month-old.
Right.
And he apparently was laughing and stuff when the police went to talk to him. He was like, he told them everything that he did. And then he was just like having a good time, basically said he was hungry. And then they can't do anything to you if you're a child, because he was literally 10 years old. So they put him in jail for, I want to say, he was allowed to leave once he turned 18. And then he left on a fake name because he was allowed to change his name.
He was released in 2016. Now, yes. I'm not going to say that he is. I mean, maybe he is the youngest serial killer, but he didn't know what the hell he was doing. He must have had some troubled childhood, because I don't believe he's killed since.
I also, this is really just shows how far America has fallen, because that's our shit.
Yeah.
Now, other people are going to be better than that than us.
Well, it's very possible, and I hope someone can take the reins on that one. They can definitely take the reins. You can definitely have more killer kids if you really want to.
That's what we're supposed to do.
God knows we have enough. We have enough.
We do. But no, I actually, but the main crux of that story is that nobody knows where he is.
Well, just follow the trail of bodies. He and Amelia Earhart, you'll be able to find him somewhere. He must have had some problems.
They're saying now.
What?
I believe Amelia Earhart, didn't she live on that island for a while? I think they said that she might have lived there.
Yeah, they say anything because there's no, because it's like a horoscope. Because it's what I could tell
no,
you that I married her.
Some, no, yeah, did you?
I don't know. She found a mermaid.
Did you?
I don't know. You can say anything.
Yeah, I don't know. No, but yeah, I feel like in a way though, you're so dismissive of mystery.
I'm not dismissive of mystery. That's why, literally, cryptozoology, I think I take it more seriously than people trying to hunt for D.B. Cooper or Amelia Earhart. No matter what, they're dead. It's the same thing with John F. Kennedy Jr.
Well, this is like, I have to look like, why is she? She is a big deal.
Yeah,
she's a big deal.
I know she's a big deal, and I know she broke some barriers, but she did grow up hyper-freaking wealthy. And
she was very famous during the time period. She was the reigning queen of the air. And immediately after her return to the United States, she undertook an exhausting lecture tour in 1928, 1929. So actually, she was a very big figure in aviation, Kissel.
All right. I am very happy about that. Okay, let's get to a story that actually makes some modicum of sense.
No, you want sense?
There is a bishop. Now, this is a man who I do not like out of Brooklyn. Because this bishop... he was very flashy, right? And he was
he
one
loved
of these-
spending that money. Have you ever followed is it Preacher Sneaks? Was it
yes,
Instagram?
It's fantastic. These preachers, don't worry, the money that you give them is not going to God. It's going to shoes that then they wear.
There even this is past me, right? Because like I love like my Jays.
Oh, buddy,
I really found my other guy somewhere in America. Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I don't do this shit. Preachers and sneakers. And it's wild. Like you just see this fucking asshole. These shoes are gross. I'm looking at these ones. They're like whatever these the Lanvin shoes. Like and it's just like it's like $1,500.
Dude, it's disgusting. I hate those people. They take money from people who don't have a lot of it, and they think that they're doing something good with that money. But as we know with Joel Osteen, not even opening up his church during the hurricanes of Houston.
No, that's not even the only
total,
crime.
Complete and utter scumbags. No, he just had $600,000 in the wall of a bathroom due to a construction error. All those people are disgusting. I saw Joel Osteen at Sirius Radio in New York. The man is dressed to the tens. It must be $1,000 suits this person wears. Anyway.
Dude, this fucking preacher, you look at him, honestly, he looks dope. I love the clothes, but I don't like them on him.
Absolutely. It was a flashy Brooklyn bishop. He was robbed in the middle of his live stream service on Sunday when gun-toting crooks accosted his podium and fled with up to $400,000 in jewelry. Good. Take it all
Good
from him.
Lord.
It's not his money. He took it from his constituents. He took it from the people in the pews. This man doesn't deserve a goddamn thing. He drives a Rolls Royce. His name is Lamar Whitehead. And to be honest, he wasn't shot. They just like, they took the stuff. They had the guns. They're like, give me all your jewelry. And then they fled.
No, it's very little victims here. There's very few victims here because no one got hurt. They did not fight. They didn't shoot anybody. They didn't hit anybody. They just took the money and left, which is why people like DB Cooper as well. But I was looking at man, Rolls Royces are so fucking expensive. These are crazy, dude. I don't really understand the amount, the idea of paying for the amount of money that a house costs for a car. Like, I don't get it.
Not to mention just jewelry as you're in there pretending to profess the good deeds of a Jesus or Christ himself.
Especially. So
according to Whitehead, this is one of the sermons. This is a line from the sermon. He says, how many of you have lost faith because you saw somebody else die? All right, all right. He then said several times before hitting the floor on his hands and his knees. And at this point, the armed men took $400,000 worth of jewelry from Whitehead, his wife, and maybe some churchgoers. He was dressed in a gold-trimmed maroon suit with sleeve cuffs. The guy is just the epitome of disgusting. And anyway, he didn't die. They just got some jewelry. And
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, so nobody got hurt. So who gives a fucking shit? He took honestly, it's one less. It's like probably that money will go back into the community in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, I just have never, I've never particularly understood it. The idea of like, I can't wear, like, there's certain things you can't wear. Like, I have like a couple of my like nice J's that I can't even wear because I'm afraid of getting hurt. I'm just saying, I was the one I'm going to hurt. I don't know how you just wear $1,500 pairs of shoes.
He has what is a pet peeve of mine. It's very similar to Laura Ingraham on Fox News with her gold cross. He's got a diamond studded crucifix because, you know, that's exactly
that's what Jesus would have wanted.
That's definitely what he wanted.
Absolutely. And the only time he showed any form of violence was to destroy all of the people, all of the vendors. All of the people in the, fine.
Well, there was some, there were some parables.
They're stupid. Obviously, they're full of shit.
There were parables there where he said, get the money out. But of course, the money finds its way back in.
It does.
Live from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious weedy taste, which is what I like. And three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Well, speaking of finding its way back in, I think it's time for Hero of the Week.
Yeah!
All right. Well, I'm going to give it to this weird-ass little kid. So there was a
possessed... Look at you.
Isn't it nice? This is a person. So the headline in the New York Post reads, Alabama residents get a fright over real-life Chucky roaming their neighborhood.
Yeah, this is fun. I like this kid.
I like this kid in the same way when we went to Comic-Con, there's the street preachers. They got the big signs that say, repent, you're going to hell. And they have their little microphones, which, by the way, they cheat now and they pre-record those messages. So they don't have to shout it all the time.
It's also basically a booth at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, it's just a booth.
For them to be there.
Yeah. But there's something about the end is now, surrender, repent, because it's all such bullshit. But there's something about it where I'm like, the circle, the quilt of life. So
well,
I
you know what it is,
kid.
Too, is that it's the I love them. And my other favorite Comic-Con phenomena of all time is a couple having a meltdown fight in costume. It is my favorite.
There was a situation involving a fairly different looking Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn from the multiverse that Golden Corral starred in and financed. And she was just screaming at some dude dressed like, I don't know, the Lorax. I don't know what he was dressed. But man, it was funny. It was really awesome. And I don't know what they were fighting over, but they definitely had a couple of too many drinks. And then I don't know what happened. But anyway, Alabama neighborhood, they got photos of this real life Chucky. It's now gone viral. The human Chucky seen in photos is standing on the side of the road of a residential neighborhood in Pinson, Alabama, waiting for cars to pass. It was actually a 5-year-old boy named Jackson who brought fear and laughter to the people of his community.
The coolest kid I've seen. I love this shit.
I love it. According to Kendra Walden, this is the person who I want to scare. She's a witness of the boy. She is also a resident there. She says on Facebook, "Dear parents of the little boy in the Chucky costume in Pinson, get your kid. I almost had a heart attack." You got to be strong enough to handle it. She added, "We took some pictures. We thought it was so funny." So the kid, if you look at the picture of him, he's freaking horrified.
He looks great. he looks great. He looks like a perfect, it's the perfect Chucky. It's what I want to see. I just love, again, same thing with Comic-Con. I love watching it be live. Like, I love seeing everyone in costumes. That's why I love Halloween, because I love the bringing fantasy to real life. That's so much fun. He probably didn't even know he was doing that.
No,
he's just having fun in a Chucky costume.
Well, according to Brittany Reed, Jackson's mom, he likes to wear costumes around the house. And then she said,
"That's cool.
That's just his personality. He dresses up in different costumes throughout the week. He likes to make people laugh. And in this case, he made him scared."
That kid's going to be our fucking boss. He's going to be our boss in 20 years.
I'm fine with it.
I love it.
Yes, so he wanted to dress up as Chucky, and he walked around the neighborhood, and I don't know. He is now,
that's
according to
hell.
The mom, he's Facebook famous, which you don't wish that upon your child.
No,
but
no,
that's okay.
Don't let that happen to him. Yes,
no,
this,
don't let
bad.
That happen. But either way, Jackson, you're hero of the week, because you know what? In this world where we have such true horrors, sometimes it's nice to just be reminded how fun a little serial killer, what do we call it, toy figurine doll
yes.
can be.
It is. It really is fun. And I want to say I got a lot of people reached out to me. They said they understood what I meant about the differences between the boy and the orphan. And they understand what I'm saying. You don't yet understand because
no,
you
I
haven't
understand
seen
what you're
your boy.
Saying. I've
you
seen
should
the boy.
See the boy.
I saw the boy.
But I'm just saying other people get me. I also want to say thank you to all the people who also understand and have understood my correct opinion that mac and cheese is overrated.
Wait, when did you even say that?
There are some dissenters. I've said it many times. There have been some dissenters.
What are you talking about? Mac and cheese is just rated.
Mac and cheese is overrated. It is
Why?
Overrated. Because
Who's
people love
it.
And I find there is actually very few. I've had very few spectacular mac and cheeses. And they've all basically been made by Jackie.
I had one in San Antonio that had brisket in it. That was simply the best. Brisket.
See,
mac
that's
and cheese.
Hey, yes, I'm good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just not saying it's the best thing I've ever had.
Yeah, it's not on the Food Network show best thing I ever had.
It has been. There has been several different versions
right?
of absolutely. Look up the cheesy version.
You know what
Never
I will
seen
say?
Cheesy?
I feel like we've been a little bit at each other's throats today, and I don't like that. We have to kiss.
Oh,
I kissed you.
I'm not even mad at you.
No,
we're
I'm
mad at so we're mad at topics. And yelling next to each other.
That's right. We're like, pardon the interruption, because we're still friends, but yeah, we can debate. The one thing that I think is super overrated when it comes to mac and cheese, which I don't think should go together, is lobster mac and cheese. It ruins the lobster.
You're destroying
the
lobster.
Mac and cheese.
It's a waste of lobster. Same thing I feel about lobster rolls as well. When they drown them in mayonnaise, when it comes down to it, I want to taste the lobster.
Absolutely.
But no, I'll never fight you truly, because if we do ever have to fight, it has to be to the death.
It will be. And I prefer more of a Master Blaster situation, because we do have to come together when the machines take over, as again, we're seeing it happen more and more.
What the audience is seeing is the second act of our relationship. The third act is when we come together to fight the world.
Oh, that'll
See?
Be fun. All right.
Yeah, we'll get it. Also, one little update. The methanol. Do you remember I told you about the 21-year-old, the South African teenagers, the 21 of them that just died randomly in a club?
Yeah.
They said they all had methanol in their system and they have no clue how they got it in there. They all basically were poisoned, but nobody knows how it got in there. They don't know what happened, because we also said it was an unregulated club, but it is interesting. It is a little bit mysterious.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of conversations about necrophilia.
Oh, great. Great.
But it is interesting. Because we talk about how, like, the idea that when you are being prosecuted for crimes, what they will do is sometimes put a bunch of, like, they'll add a bunch of shit on there to help whittle it down for a plea deal, right?
Absolutely.
Like, they all of the lawyers and the DA, they all sit down and have a conversation about what they're going to charge you with, right? Which is interesting, because it can't really go. But what is weird is I got a couple of places. You know, there's like more than half states, or it's like a shockingly large amount of states. Necrophilia is not illegal.
Okay.
It's just frowned upon.
Oh, okay.
They just go like, ew.
Yuck. Whoa.
Yeah, they go, bleh. right? But they, yes, they do that. What they do is they, in my state, we actually have these things called offenses on the books that are classified as aggravating offenses, neither felony nor misdemeanor, just require extra prison time, which have become tools to threaten harsher sentences if defendants don't plea. And it sucks because it's great when you do it against somebody like Ghislaine Maxwell.
Sure.
But it sucks when they do it against like a kid.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It does happen quite a bit in juvenile court.
Yes.
But that's a lot of it. So someone said that I was like sort of on the money. We're often with prosecutors before we charge cases to charge higher or lower crimes as part of a plea bargaining down the road in court. For example, you could charge a felony one offense and a felony three offense, with the felony one being the bargaining chip to hopefully get the defendant to plead to the lesser felony three offense. This is due to felony ones carrying much more jail time than felony threes. So most of the time, defendants and their attorneys will agree to plead to the lesser charges to avoid longer jail or probation sentences.
Absolutely. Taylor. As old as time, we know the trickery that goes on in the system.
Also, I got an example of what in the fuck noodling is.
Okay.
So noodling, which is also sometimes referred to as graveling, can be as simple simple or as complicated as the end user deems it to be. So I'm here to tell you that while using bait can be effective, it isn't required. I know this because when I was a tender young boy of 11, my father decided it was time to make a man out of me.
Okay.
He did this by driving us to the Ohio River and teaching me the art of noodling. It consisted of diving like a maniac underneath the surface of the water, running your hands under any large rocks you might find until you feel movement. Then you reach around, sightless and soundless in the murky water until you find what you hope is a fish's mouth, and then you wrench it up out of the water by its jaw.
Okay.
Now, what my father failed to tell me about catfish is that instead of having teeth in any sort of traditional sense, they have these abrasive, sharp clusters of tiny pseudo-teeth called cardiform embedded in their mouths. So imagine brake pads crossed with high grit sandpaper, and you get the general idea of what they are like. On that day, I pulled a catfish that was half of my height from the water, holding on for dear life as it ground away at the flesh of my right hand with every thrash it made in desperate attempts for freedom. So by the time I had gotten it to shore, the palm and backing of my right hand were torn into an unrecognizable lump. And for the next week, it grew three times its size and had turned a dark, grisly plum color, no doubt due to an infection caused by a combination of bacteria from the fish's mouth and whatever ungodly, abhorrent substances dwell within the Ohio River. My father was proud. My mother was terrified.
All right,
we
there you go.
That night. Yep.
Oh, you ate it. Okay,
ate
it. The catfish.
Got to.
He's a manly man now. There you go.
You got to do it. And to me, that's a lot. Because I want to get into fishing, but I want the pole.
I agree. I'll never forget when my father caught a keeper, but he couldn't do it. So it just died on our front lawn throughout the whole day.
What?
He couldn't cut its head off. Oh, my dad.
Yeah, but you can whack it with a stick.
No, he couldn't do it. So it just died on our front yard. And it took like 10 hours because it kept on shaking.
It's so weird because it's like so much worse.
I know.
To just let it die like that.
It was a stressful day for the family. And then we buried it in the backyard.
So, guys, I want to say thank you to everybody who came out to San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego!
To our sightings. I want to say thank you to Z2 Comics.
Yeah.
They crushed it.
David Melkian.
Josh and Courtney. David Dasmalkian was the coolest motherfucker on the face of the planet.
He's so cool.
I hope he'll continue to speak to us.
He was so cool.
I didn't ask any Dune questions. I released him from that. I hope to do it in private. Maybe one day he'll let me.
I did see him and I was like, I really enjoyed you in Suicide Squad, the James Gunn one. You were Polka Dot Man. It was really good. And then he told a little story about it.
He did.
This is cool.
He was very generous with his time. And next time what we'll do is we'll press him next time. Maybe we can get him alone in a room. Maybe we'll scare him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to live every day. Don't hide under that rock. Yeah, you might be some lowly catfish to somebody else, but to you, you're a great white shark, right? So you got to keep swimming, because if not, some big fucking asshole's kid is going to come dig under there and it's going to pull you up to the harsh sun, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then you're going to love wishing for death as fast as humanly possible and hope that they do it and he doesn't leave you just gasping on the beach.
I know that.
For dear life, right? Because if you can laugh, because I do believe in the end, you'll laugh knowing you fed a big old family from Wisconsin.
and so thankful that your guts and your life could be used to further along the dreams of a 6'7", 11-year-old who all he wants to do is to make him laugh with the microphone.
Make him laugh.
But all they do is scream and run from him and scream and run because he's just a big, lurking, horrible beast. Right? But, you know, he still wants to make you laugh. Sometimes when he's doing, he kills you with his bare hands.
Absolutely. And let's not forget to thank the animals.
You're right.
Okay, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We hope you're doing well out there. We'll be back. By the way, I know everyone knows it's episode 500 this week for LPOTL.
It is.
We can't wait. It's going to be very fun.
It's going to be thick. Anyway, I'm very excited. And we got Marcus in LA.
Yes,
so,
we got Marcus
here. So that means the studio is at a solid 77 degrees.
It'll be nice and hot for him because he's got thin, thin skin.
But I told him when we're in the studio, we're keeping it bare temperature. He can wear a jacket.
I agree with that. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourselves.
Bye.
Magustalations, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.